WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to Student Section MLB. I'm, of course, your host, as normal, Carson Keel, joined by...
Tyler Harrison.
And Luke Anderson.
And, boys, I guess, for me and Tyler, this is going to be a bit of a depressing episode, just like last week's. But we have a lot to talk about when it comes to the MLB playoffs. Again, full swing of what's been happening, of course. Let's get right into it, of course. We have the ALCS. I'm a little stuck on last week's news topics. But we have the Texas Rangers versus the Houston Astros. It looks like everyone's prediction that the there would be an all-Texas matchup when it came to the ALCS was correct. And boy, howdy, were we a little shocked by the results so far. Besides, I think, Luke, I think you're enjoying the results because of what you've been saying for the past month now about the Texas Rangers. But still, I mean, Luke, I'll let you go and get started with that first.
Of course. I mean, we talked last week on our show about our predictions for the series. Obviously, on our last show, we knew Texas was going to be here, and we all picked that the Astros would seal the deal and be here for a Battle of Texas. And I said that I would think that the Rangers would show that they were supposed to win the division and lock it down. But I also said that it could be one of the closest series we've ever seen, and it would be a classic seven-game series, one of the best we've seen in a while. And instead, right now we're staring at what could be one of the most competitive four-game sweeps we've ever seen. I mean, the Texas Rangers now up 2-0 on the Astros, taking both games on the road, both of them in epic fashion, both really good games, especially for the starting pitching for the Texas Rangers. I mean, Montgomery and Nathan Eovaldi with two insane starts from the both of them, mm-hmm. locking down two wins for the Rangers. And now we have game three, which is starting very soon. We'll be giving you guys some live updates as Max Scherzer makes his return. That's one of the big headlines of this week. Of course, Max Scherzer is on the playoff roster, and he is starting this game that will be starting shortly. So we'll keep you guys updated on where that goes. Tyler was talking to me about this before, whether we'll see prime Max Scherzer or wild card last year Max Scherzer. Thank you for that comment. But we'll have to see how he starts. Max Scherzer is obviously first ballot Hall of Famer, but he has had some inconsistency in the playoffs in recent years, definitely. So we'll have to see. Astros desperately need to take one game back, so this is definitely going to be a good game for sure.
And just with like that, as soon as you mentioned that, the first pitch has been thrown. That game is underway in Houston, I believe.
Is it Houston? Texas.
Okay, so, well, so Arlington.
I mean, it would be in Texas regardless, yes.
But Arlington. But Arlington.
Globe Life Park.
Yes, the barbecue. Anyway, so I guess let's talk about that. I mean, I'm very shocked by how, I won't say poorly, Houston has been performing. But is it fair to say possibly, I guess, that feels like that team is not all the way there when it comes to the Astros?
I could somewhat agree with that. Minus, of course, Jordan Alvarez, who is proving that he's going to be an all-time great hitter by the end of his career. I think it's not that the Astros are so much as, like, not ready or not prepared or not performing up to their standards. I think they just did not expect the Rangers to come in and play so angrily after losing that division before the playoffs even started. I agreed with Luke before the playoffs started, or when the bracket was made, that the Rangers were going to be playing angry. I thought that his pick for them to win the World Series was a bit out there. I am taking back everything that I said as of 3 weeks ago, because they may be the first team since the wild card has been added to completely sweep the playoffs. They are currently sitting at 9-0 and need to only win six more games in a row to have the most dominant World Series run by a team ever.
I mean, I don't think even the Texas fans were expecting this team to play as well as they have been in the playoffs. I mean, Max Scherzer, and this is his first start, I believe, correct? In the playoffs, and also, yeah. Since August?
I don't think he started a game in September. I'll just look that up.
Yeah,
I think he only started like four or five games with Texas before getting hurt.
I was about to say it was a handful of times that he started before he was hurt, and people thought he would be done for the season, and he had the like Bryce Harper level rehab and is now back before even the World Series.
Yeah. He started a game in September 12th was his last start.
Okay, yeah, then that's when the playoffs talk.
He only started eight games in Texas after getting traded there.
You're telling
before
me
he got
hurt. He was only been out a month.
Yeah.
But that's insane, especially
he's already recorded,
with his injury.
He's already recorded a strikeout.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, on Michael Brantley, nonetheless, and he's really good this postseason, too.
Yeah. And he struck him out swinging, by the way. So I am, as if I was someone, as a, let's say a Houston fan, and looks like they are through three. So, through three already. Yep. So it's already bottom in the first when it comes to Texas versus Houston. Man. I you somehow predicted it, I think. I hope I'm not jinxing anything, because I'm serious when I'm saying this. I think you somehow foresaw this. I don't know how, besides just they're playing angry. They're the Hulk of the MLB postseason, I guess. Like, who else saw this coming? I didn't. Tyler didn't. Luke Torrey, if he was here, he would probably say he didn't. I think everyone predicted they would have a so-so meet, like, you know, maybe they make it to the NLCS and they go out in a losing effort. But, like, this kind of run, no one expected. I will be perfectly honest about that. I did not expect this at all.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I did predict them to win the World Series, but I didn't think it would be as clean as it has been so far, obviously sweeping their way to the postseason so far. We looked this up before and Tyler brought it up. There's only been two teams since the wild card to make it to the World Series without losing a game. The most recent one was the 2014 Kansas City Royals that we saw. So the Texas Rangers are two games away from at least doing that, and if they go into the World Series without having lost a game, who's to say that they will lose a game there? And the first two games against Houston, I like you said, Carson, I wouldn't say entirely that it's Houston not being there. Tyler also brought this up. I just want to put it out there for the record. If Yordan Alvarez gets an at-bat for the rest of the postseason, I think that is so silly of managers. If I was a manager against the Astros in the postseason, I would intentionally walk Yordan Alvarez every time he steps up to the plate.
Give him the Barry Bonds treatment.
That's besides the point. And I think everyone else, I mean, Michael Brantley, Bregman, they still have guys who are hitting well on their postseason roster. I think it's more so just that the Texas pitching has been out of this world. These are a few things that my dad brought up from the past two games. Shout out to my dad, who will be listening to this, by the way. Game one of the ALCS was the first time in the playoffs so far that both starting pitchers have reached the seventh inning, which is just crazy.
Wow.
And that's because it's Verlander versus Montgomery, who are two of the greatest pitchers going into this postseason in general. But Jordan Montgomery with an absolute gem. I mean, outdueling Justin Verlander is insane to do. Even in this day, like, Verlander's old, but he's still really good, and he's been amazing this postseason. But somehow outdueling Justin Verlander is insane. And you look at Game 2 with Nathan Eovaldi on the mound. Nathan Eovaldi, aside from, I think he let up three solo home runs, but other than that, he was pretty much perfect. I think he had bases loaded, no outs, in, I believe, the fifth inning, and he got out of it in the next three batters. I mean, that's just crazy. And the Texas bullpen, that was the light of some criticism towards the end of the regular season, just pretty much after the deadline entirely. They've been locking it down as well. And obviously, we've talked about the Rangers lineup has just been out of this world as well. So they're just an extremely complete team. I don't even think it's Houston's fault. I just think this Rangers team right now is just unstoppable.
I mean, I think you're just right. I think I'm very interested to see when it comes to the NLCS. We'll talk about that in a second. Like, even if it's Philadelphia who right now has, of course, that two series lead, can you stop someone like Texas who's going as hard as they are right now? That's the question. You know, so many different things we can talk about from that. I don't want to keep going on the topic though. I guess. Let's talk about that real quick.
We don't have to.
Yeah, we have to, unfortunately. We can't be unbiased. The Atlanta Braves did not go into Game 5. They lost in Game 4. The Philadelphia Phillies are currently in the NLCS versus the Arizona Diamondbacks. So,
I got this.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I still support my MVP. That's why I have Ronald Acuna's jersey on. Mm-hmm. other than that, other than his two hits through the five games that we played, I am upset that top three offensive performances by a team all time couldn't get past the first round. I stand by the fact that the added weight for the best teams in the league is not helping anybody but the Astros, and I think everyone hates that. I think we should go after Blake Snell in the offseason because he's going to win the NL Cy Young, and if we can get him and an NL Cy Young candidate Max Fried, and maybe if Strider can get a third pitch, then I think we have a good chance of getting back to the playoffs next season. I hope that we win round three against Phillies, or I hope the Phillies go 0-162 next season and we just don't see him in the playoffs. Either way, I guess I'm a Rangers fan for the rest of the playoffs, but I would not be surprised if we have a Rangers-Phillies World Series and the Phillies are having a revenge season while the Rangers are playing angry baseball. I think that could be an offensive masterclass, and I am excited to watch it even though I do not like the Phillies.
The idea of the Philadelphia Phillies making it into the World Series disgusts me.
Twice.
Yes.
Feels like 2009 all over again.
Yeah, it does. This sucks. I guess let's kind of talk about also while we're here. We have Atlanta versus Philadelphia. We've talked about that. Let's talk about the Diamondbacks versus the Dodgers. Because, look, we might all dislike our different teams for different reasons. We can all agree. We do not like the Los Angeles Dodgers.
They took Freddie from me, and I'm so happy that a wild card team with Corbin Carroll and Zach Gallen and just young talent. I'm so glad that they swept the Dodgers. Don't get me wrong. Mookie's a great guy. I love him. I'm a bowler. Mookie's a good bowler. We can connect on that level. I love that. But the Dodgers are consistently good, which is why I consistently don't like them. The same for the Astros, and I mean, I would say the same for the Phillies, but they haven't won above 90 games two straight seasons, but they seem to really like beating us. But that's besides the point. I think the Dodgers manager is out. I hope the Diamondbacks make a comeback in the NLCS, but I'm just glad the Dodgers aren't the ones facing the Phillies.
Yeah, can we at least just say LOL Dodgers, Mickey Mouse ring, at least? Can we say that?
I would have to agree, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Mookie Betts, NL MVP runner-up, not
Excuse
recording
me,
a hit.
To use the childish insult, Dookie Betts.
I mean, not recording a hit in the postseason is just bad. The whole team, I mean, it's not just on him. Their entire, pretty much everyone in their lineup and pitching staff underperformed severely from their 100-win regular season team. You brought up Freddie Freeman. I mean, Freddie Freeman had a stinker in the playoffs. I think pretty much the only Dodgers players who played even decently were Will Smith and maybe even Kike Hernandez. The rest of their lineup was quite bad, and their starting pitching never made it out of the third inning, and Lance Lynn and obviously Kershaw, and they all got blown up in like the first time through the order, and their bullpen was actually pretty solid in the playoffs, but they never even stood a chance because they were always coming in down like five runs at least, and their lineup was never making up for those runs. So obviously, I mean, if we're going to talk about Mickey Dodgers and Dodgers disappointing seasons, I think this is the worst the Dodgers have played in the postseason in their 10 years of not winning a ring that outside of the COVID year. I think this is the worst playoff performance they've put up. So
Kershaw was unexpected. I did not expect him to get absolutely blasted by the Diamondbacks lineup. He didn't, what, he pitched two-thirds of an inning, maybe not even that?
I think it was two-thirds, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's something like that. That's crazy for someone who could have retired 3 years ago and would be a first-ballot Hall of Famer.
He still will be when he retires
now. Yeah,
exactly. Now, so.
But, I mean, Lance Lynn, Lance Lynn fans out there, he gave up almost
back
50
to back
home runs
to back
on the season.
To back home runs.
Did he give up four in a row?
It was four home runs in a row. And that was really funny. It was, I forget, I think it was Moreno's home run. He hit one like 5 inches outside the foul pole. And the next pitch he saw after the long review, he hit one Oppo, no doubt, home run right after. And that was, I mean, they were all solo home runs. That was actually the closest game they played. But
I know,
still.
I know Bryce Harper said in some interview, whether it be like the Pat McAfee show or just some podcast, that there are three outcomes to a foul ball home run. A strike, no, there's two outcomes, either a strikeout or an absolute tank. There's no in between if you've hit a foul ball home run. And clearly, Lance Lynn did not get one more strikeout for his strikeout records in the postseason.
Yes. But, can, all right. I think this is the question. We've talked about this every week, and I want to still talk about this. When is Dave Roberts going to get the boot? Because this feels like this has to be the year, right?
Well, now, yeah, I would say it has to be sometime even this week. I feel like the sooner the better. Obviously, people have asked this question every year. We've asked this question every week. But especially after this quite pathetic performance, I would say, it has to be time. And if they don't, I really don't understand why they wouldn't. I think they have every reason in the world to fire him and pretty much no reason whatsoever in terms of keeping him. So I think that this offseason would definitely be the time to do it.
I mean, there's one or two outcomes why he's saying. Either one, the players are basically going to pull like an Alonso if he gets fired.
Yeah, exactly.
Or two, he has blackmail on them. There's no other way. Because like the guy, again, Mickey Mouse ring aside, he has done nothing for that organization besides bring playoff woes. Because he's really good in that regular season. He somehow manages to put out a team that can chuck throughout that regular season. And then when it comes to playoff time, when he needs to make those decisions where, okay, we don't need to push the guy as hard because now we're going to have some days in between and stuff like that. It's just like he treats the playoffs like the regular season when you really shouldn't. It's a whole different beast. And that's really the question of now, can we finally figure out, you know, who are the Dodgers going to see through this and go, okay, look, Dave, thank you for all the help. We're going to have to move on now. And then the question becomes, who is worthy of becoming a manager of the LA Dodgers? Because, again, that's right there with the Yankees as one of the most popular teams in baseball, right there with the Braves. I mean, what, two or three, you know? It's not even close. And it just, again, can you guys think of anyone that might be able to fit that?
I can't think of anybody that would fit that, but I do have some words for the Dodgers. And take this lightly, I think the Dodgers are like the Alabama Crimson Tide football team.
Oh, God.
And what I mean by that is, I think that Dodgers fans see success so often that if they don't win the World Series, they consider it a failure. And I am the same way when watching Alabama football, but again, different podcast. I would not be surprised if Roberts keeps his job, but I would also not be surprised at all if he loses it by tomorrow. I think the Dodgers are happy about the success they're getting in the regular season. They're happy about not completely crapping the bed and just not making the playoffs, but there has to be some type of change, whether it be in a manager or a pitching coach or a batting coach or something like that, to have them get further than the first or second round in the playoffs. Even a World Series appearance, aside from the 60-game season, would be something to look forward to. And if Roberts doesn't get that next season, if he's allowed to stay, then 100% he's out.
Man, it's one of those things where we're having to have that serious conversation of like, you know, again, I still think this is the perfect time because he's been what, the manager since 2013? It's been a really long time.
About a decade.
Yeah, it's a decade. And what do you have to show for it besides, you know, the one ring where it's like, oh, haha, Mickey Mouse. I mean, we say the joke all the time, but it's like,
he could always technically hang that above his head because it's still one more ring than what other people have. But you played 102 less games than what, like, the Braves did in 21 or what the Astros did in 22 or anybody before then.
Yeah, 2019. It's like one of those things. All right. Let's go ahead and get ready to head into our next segment. Once we get back, we'll have a score update when it comes to Texas Rangers, Houston Astros. We're still stuck at 0-0, I believe, if I'm correct.
Yes, Yordan got hit by a pitch.
Okay, so Scherzer's already entering his old tricks.
Yeah.
But we'll be back with more. We'll talk about ALCS, ALDS, and more. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
welcome back, everybody, to Student Section MLB. Of course, your host, Carson Keel, with Luke Anderson. But we have someone back here for the show.
I have returned. I was a little late today, but...
Yes, you were late.
I had some stuff to take care of.
You were 20 minutes late. Thank you, Tyler, for stepping in while Mr. Torrey here was a little tardy. Let's get back into things. Let's talk about starting with the ALDS, with what happened there. Again, Rangers... that series was very quick against Baltimore. I mean, we've already gave most of our ideas because, again, that series was done last week by the time we were on air. Again, Baltimore, I feel bad for those guys. Again, but they're a team that's definitely on the rise, and they're gonna, like we talked about last week, they're going to be enjoying the Camden Yards for another 30 years. And you get to have that. But... the Twins with Houston, I believe that was game four, or no, excuse me, it was game four when we were talking last week, and of course, I believe the Astros got the win there to take them to the ALCS, which allowed for a little earlier start for the ALCS with them having game three today. So
I got a little bit of a live update. It was 3-0 Astros. Bases loaded. There was a passed ball, and then followed by a two-run double by Martin Maldonado. But I think he was out at second base.
Yeah, I think they're
going to
overturn
it.
So that's what, one run now?
It would still be three nothing, but it would retire the side.
Okay. All right. So that's interesting. Looks like the Astros are going to be going down, with a fight, in terms of a possible sweep. We've been talking about that. Luke, I guess you didn't get a chance to talk about this quickly. Your thoughts on the Rangers-Astros series and how the Rangers have been performing fairly well.
Yeah, I mean, right off the bat, they were coming out hot. Pitching was great and for both games one and game two. But, I mean, like I said this last week, their offense is just simply better. I think their roster is just simply better than the Astros. But what the Astros have is experience, and they don't have experience being down 2-0, so I'm excited to see how the Astros respond to this. As it stands with the 3-0 deficit, I still see the Rangers coming out on top of this series.
And, man, I guess let's go and with the rest of everything. How do you guys see... We didn't get a chance to really get into it, but Phillies, Diamondbacks, thoughts on kind of how Philadelphia has, I wouldn't say, been super controlling.
There was no shot the Diamondbacks win that series. I mean, I said Phillies in five. I do still think that the Phillies will drop a game at some point. I think it's Phillies in five, and then it'll be Phillies in seven over the Rangers in the World Series.
I'm gonna stay right now. I think the Diamondbacks can make a comeback.
The Phillies are the most exciting team in baseball right now. I know you two are Braves fans.
This is a slanderous allegation.
You cannot deny it. They are the most exciting team in baseball. Like, just, it's nuts. It's insane. Like, 10 runs in game two. Trey Turner. I don't understand what I'm watching, because there were three straight games where Harper and Castellanos both hit a home run. Harper is just insane. I mean, Wheeler playing out of his mind. Like, just that lineup top to bottom, having Nick Castellanos in your seven hole is just like, that's just not fair. That is just simply not fair, having Nick Castellanos as a seven hitter. But I mean, yeah, they are the most exciting team in baseball. I think they're the best team that's remaining. And I don't see them losing. I definitely don't see them losing to the Diamondbacks. I don't see them losing in the World Series either.
All right. Well, I guess then let's kind of move forward. Let's talk about we have games going on, but we have had some kind of off-the-field news when it comes to the game. I'm going to screw up this name, but I believe it's Kim Nye? Hang on. Let me hang on.
Kim Ng.
Okay. She has left her position with the Miami Marlins. She was not fired. This was simply basically the team renewed her option on her contract, and she basically said no. Again, she was the general manager for the Marlins. Again, pretty much brought them back into prominence the way they have this past season, instead of being the laughing stock of the NL East like normally. I guess, before I give my thoughts, your guys' thoughts on the story and kind of what's going on from that front with Miami.
You want first?
No, you can go.
I think it was kind of unexpected, to be honest. To me, because didn't she just like take that position like fairly recently?
Yeah, I believe it was 2022.
Right,
and then of course, basically, she had her old contract, so they were kind of like, okay, they'll probably just be, you know, we'll still keep going with that.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of surprised, but I'm kind of curious what they do next, because she took over. Was it for Jeter, right?
Yeah, she took over Jeter.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm kind of curious to see what the Marlins do next for that position. I kind of want to look into the possible people to take over that position. But I feel like the Marlins are, you know, they're right there. They had an exciting season this year, lost in the wild card series. But, I mean, yeah, I think they got to go after someone with experience because that's a young team. I want to see them get like a former GM of some sort, but I'm not sure who. I got to look into it.
I mean, let's quickly kind of talk about the post. I'm going to say it's probably the reason of just Jeff Passan's kind of reporting it. Mm-hmm. But apparently they were going to hire a new president of baseball operations in this offseason. I mean, on a contract year, I don't think this was exactly smart by the Marlins, the rest of the Marlins organization, because that's basically slapping your GM in the face with, again, she kind of rebuilt that roster fairly fast and brought the Marlins into a new form of relevance. I mean, Luke, I don't think you've gotten a chance to really kind of talk about it. I guess, what's your thoughts on the entire situation?
Yeah, I mean, what you just said, Carson, it reminds me a lot of what the Mets are doing. The Mets hired a new president, and then a couple days later is when their GM, Billy Epler, resigned. I mean, that's a little different because he might have resigned knowing that he was about to be investigated by MLB. We talked about that last week. Obviously, I don't think the Marlins are going to be subject of some crazy investigation like that. But it's very similar. The Mets hired a new president, and then maybe they wanted to just start completely clean slate, so that's why Billy Epler left. And maybe this is the same thing. If they're going to hire a new president, maybe their GM thought maybe it's better for them to start in a clean slate, and that's why she left. But I really don't know. I mean, she did a really great job rebuilding that team and that roster from being quite bad just a couple years ago when she took the job to a playoff berth. That's aside from the COVID year, that's the organization's third ever postseason berth. So, I mean, really successful job by her in just 3 years being on the team. So it is shocking to see. And in terms of what Luke said, I do think that the Marlins need to hire someone, at least I would say with a World Series ring under their belt, someone with experience, because their window is opening now. But that was all thanks to what she did as GM, so sad to see her leave. So I wonder where she'll go.
I mean, people have been very much hinting that it's probably the Boston Red Sox. Do you guys think that that's where she is going
to
be heading?
That'd be a good job for her. She could come to the Mets.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
All right. I'm very interested. I think possibly the Angels go after her. Because they just fired their GM.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if she was able to rebuild the Marlins this fast, the Angels would probably love to have her on the team.
I mean, especially if Art's going to finally kind of go through with the idea of selling the team after the fake-out last year. I mean, you get at least a World Series contender somewhat, or a playoff contender. That's going to increase the sell price. So something to kind of look at right there. But then I guess we can kind of talk about real quick is, of course, the San Francisco Giants. They did fire Gabe Kepler. This came out this week, and there's been some interesting rumors about that. I guess first off, let's talk about Gabe getting fired. I don't think we got a chance to talk about last week. So your guys' thoughts real quick on that. Of course, after the historic 2021 season the Giants had, kind of a disaster 2022, and then even more disastrous 2023.
Yeah, I mean, ever since that Aaron Judge news came out, they kind of just plummeted down. no good news after that.
And the Correa news.
Yeah, and then that was.
Did you just call Aaron Judge arson?
Yeah.
Judge?
Did you not remember? Who was it? Who reported it? It was Heyman, John Heyman, I think. Reported.
Oh yes, no, I remember.
He said Arson Judge is headed to the San Francisco Giants.
He
obviously meant to say Aaron, but it was a typo.
Yeah.
And also, it just like wasn't happening. Yeah. It was fake news. And I will say, when I saw that tweet notification pop on my phone, my heart sank through my body, and I covered my face in a pillow. And then my dad called me and told me it was fake news, and I never had a mood switch that quick in my entire life. I almost passed out. But that's beyond the point. The Giants, they got to figure it out, man. They need to go after a big name like Shohei Ohtani in the offseason. I could see him landing in San Francisco. I could see him landing anywhere in L.A. I mean, in California, besides San Diego. But I could see them. I could see him go to the Dodgers. I could see him go to the Giants. I could see him go to the Orioles. That'd be a sleeper pick. Shohei to the Orioles. They have so much money. They could do that easily.
Braves.
He's not a Brave.
Brave.
Absolutely not.
The point is, San Francisco needs to go after a big name in free agency, and big names in the and just not on the field too. Like, you got to go after names that will help your organization.
All right. Well, speaking of names, I guess let's talk about kind of the big news that's been kind of came out over the weekend. Alyssa Nakin will be interviewing for the San Francisco Giants spot. She's been around with the organization for quite a bit. I mean, this would possibly be the first woman manager in the MLB. I mean, this could be very interesting, kind of seeing a change. Apparently, the players love her, and that they would be very at least intrigued by the idea. I mean, what's your guys' thoughts? Would we possibly see the first woman managing a team in baseball?
Obviously, without a doubt, going to get crazy publicity.
Yeah.
But it's changing the game. I mean, it's great. I think I don't know why it's taking this long. Honestly, like. It's one of those things where like I get why women can't play baseball in the major leagues, but like who says women can't have like more or the same knowledge as men knowledge for the game?
Yeah.
So I think it's overdue, honestly. I think there's like this could have been done a long time ago, but this is definitely good for the game. It's gonna branch out to. And it's going to bring more audience in when people see that. So yeah, I think it'd be a good hire, not just for the team because obviously she has experience, but it'll bring a lot of publicity and it'll definitely bring more viewership over to the sport. So I think this is good as a whole for all of baseball.
Luke.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I mean, just for the first woman to be manager of a ball club, I mean, breaking down a barrier like that is something awesome. And like Luke said, completely overdue. But it's something that needs to happen at some point soon. So obviously the sooner the better. And especially like you guys brought up, for a club that is in desperate need of a new manager, I mean, this could just be something awesome for the game and something for that team as well, especially if Carson, like you said, if the players love her and she's been with the organization for a long time, that's a very fitting job for her from a team that is in desperate need of any sort of change. And a change like that would be something great too. It would be a huge swing in, I mean, change, like Luke said, it would obviously be the first time ever. It'd just be a change in the game completely. So the team could rally around that, not just having a new manager, but being a part of the team that broke a barrier like that could bring momentum to the whole club as well. And, I mean, the team has the pieces to do something, so hopefully that change will help. I just want to give a quick update as we talk. Jose Altuve just hit a solo shot off of Max Scherzer. So the Astros are now up 4-0, top of the third.
I think we might have been a little early on the Rangers sweep prediction. Just a little bit.
Yeah, maybe we should have done that segment maybe second or third after all of this. But I think the Rangers lineup can definitely come back. But this does not surprise me that Max has started this game with 4 earned runs over 2 innings pitched. Doesn't really surprise me at all.
All right. Well, we are going to be back in 5 minutes. We'll be talking about, of course, we'll wrap up with our talk of basically the MLB playoffs and, of course, what could potentially be happening this offseason. We'll be back in 5.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Carson.
Yes, yes. What? I definitely didn't screw up anything. I didn't screw up anything at all. I was perfect.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I beg to differ.
Yeah, thank you, producer Tyler. Thank you for that little comment. Anyway, let's get back into things. Well, we got a quick score update, like you said, in the segment. What's the score now?
It's 4-0. Mechsters are retired this side quickly, but we caught you guys right as Jose Altuve hit that solo shot, which was actually his first hit of this series so far. So, 4-0, Astros going into the bottom of the third.
You know, like we said towards the end, oh God.
What?
Y'all hang it out of your system.
It'll never go away. Take your hand off my mute button. That's not cool.
you know why.
I'm chilling.
Okay.
Nah.
Okay. All right.
Don't worry. The Rangers will come back and win, and Luke will be happy.
Just wait till
the Rangers.
Rangers. Yeah,
just wait till like UFC 325. It's going to be me versus Jose Altuve. And I'm going
to
win.
I would pay to see that
in
for 10 sure.
seconds.
Anyway. So, yeah, you have that happening right now. So, I guess. The game today has changed things a little bit. How are we going to say now? Are we going to say I'm going to stick with like Rangers in six?
In terms of the series prediction?
Yeah.
I'd say Rangers in six as opposed to Rangers in seven, what I said last week, especially because it looks like Houston will just take this game straight up. But since Texas is up 2-0, I don't think it'll have to go to seven games.
Yeah, I think Houston takes this game. I think Texas takes the next game. I think Houston will then take the first one back
Game
five in Houston. I think they will. The Houston will win that, and then game six. I think Texas is going to win.
All right. So then, I guess again, we their game three is tomorrow. We have Phillies, Diamondbacks. Unfortunately, the way things are going, even as a Braves fan, I think we have a possible sweep on our hands. I think it's Phillies in four, unfortunately.
Yeah, I said Phillies in four last week as well, and I would definitely have to agree. We've talked about their lineup is just insane. One thing I want to mention is Luke talked about how deep their lineup is. They have Castellanos hitting seventh. I brought this up before the show. I'm still confused exactly as to why Schwarber is leading off for that team. A guy like him who doesn't really have skills, base running skills, and has quite a poor batting average, should not be hitting first. I mean,
it works. I don't understand why, but it works.
He's been hitting so many home runs, but they could be two or three run homers instead of exclusively solo shots.
He had more homers than singles this year. Yeah. I mean, like, what are you doing in the leadoff spot, dog?
It doesn't make
but
a lot
it
of
works.
Sense. But it does work.
I don't get it.
It's just because, I mean, if everyone in the lineup is just going to hit a home run in front of him
that's
anyway,
a good point.
It doesn't matter
if everyone's
first,
hitting a home run. Yeah.
Because Trey Turner's going to hit a home run.
Only hits
anyway.
Were home runs.
I mean, I would say Trey Turner should lead off because he has base running skills
right.
and he gets on base.
Right.
But he's also just hitting home runs anyway, mm-hmm. so I guess it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But their lineup is absolutely ballistic.
So deep.
And, I mean, you don't even have to – their pitching is insane.
Yeah.
Zach Wheeler is
when
probably
Aaron
the,
Nola is pitching the way he is, that team's not losing. I mean, Zach Wheeler, dog. I don't know why the Mets got rid of him.
Tragedy.
Sorry. Little fun fact. I was at a Mets game when they were playing the Nationals, when Harper was still on the Nationals, because I loved Bryce Harper. He's like my favorite player. And Zach Wheeler became the first member of the 100-100 club on the Mets for hitting a ball 100 miles an hour and throwing one in the same game. He hit two home runs in that game.
Wow.
Zach Wheeler hit two home runs in one
this
game.
This is why pitchers should still hit.
Yes, I agree. Bring it back. Pitchers who rake, yeah.
So instead of just having the National League,
everybody,
no DH,
get rid of it. Yeah. I want pitchers raking.
We will no longer have 50-year-old players who just happen to bat really well. It's going to be all right. Pitchers go out there, officially get hit, get that Tommy John surgery when you're 25. There you go.
Yeah.
I love this show sometimes.
Yeah, but Zach Wheeler is the best starter in this postseason without a doubt.
Aaron Nola
pitched an insane game yesterday. I mean, he's been under some question recently, but, I mean, he just basically kept his job on the Phillies yesterday, as far as I'm concerned. And, I mean, with those two guys at the top of your rotation in the playoffs, that's insane. And their bullpen is insane. So their entire team is loaded. And I am super excited to see a Rangers-Phillies World Series, because I think that both of those teams are super complete teams, great starting pitching, great lineups, great bullpens. So it's going to be really exciting to see. The Diamondbacks in Game 1 showed that maybe they have some fight. That Game 1 was pretty competitive, and then Game 2 last night was just a complete blowout for Philly. I mean, Luke loves to talk about a Red October, but, I mean, Citizens Bank Park, I don't know how a road team is going to come into Citizens Bank Park
and win.
And
even put up a fight.
The thing, I don't know. I'm actually not 100% sure if a Rangers-Phillies World Series will start in Philly or in...
It will be in Philly because okay. Philly has the best remaining record.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that means even if the series goes to seven games, the seventh game will be at Citizens Bank Park. So I would love for the Rangers to win the World Series, and that's what I think will happen. But it's going to be so hard to go on the road and win in that ballpark. The fans are just so loud. That team plays so much better in front of their fans. It's just going to be really exciting to see. We'll see when the series goes to Arizona tomorrow. I mean, the Diamondbacks don't have the most notable home field advantage in the world. But
so I will say this. Every remaining team except the Diamondbacks has the same exact record. But I do remember seeing on Twitter that the Phillies are the number one remaining seed.
Well, Houston would be, I think, because they're a division winner, no? Or is that not how it works?
I don't think that's how it works, oh, wow. No. But... yeah, all Astros, Rangers, Phillies, all 90 and 72.
Wow.
But, yeah, I did see Zach Gallen. What are you doing, dog? You said, quote, playing in the bank doesn't affect him. He said, the fans don't really affect me. Why would you give Phillies fans, of all fans, Philly fans, to be more loud? Yeah, Strider said it too. Look where he's at now. I mean, like, what are these guys not learning? Like, you don't mess with Phillies fans. Phillies fans are the most ruthless, loud, not caring,
obnoxious
fans in the league. What are you doing provoking them to be louder? It's just not intelligent. And
it showed. I mean, they won.
Yeah.
Zach Gallen kind of got blown up. I mean, one of his worst start of the playoffs, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you love, you learn, I guess.
Yeah, well, man, can we quickly talk about Phillies fans real quick? This is where I'm going to complain a little bit. They're very annoying. Like, look, I'll be very honest. Mets fans, they can get up there.
I love Mets fans.
Okay. Oh, that was a rude gesture.
What? Nah.
Anyway.
I got, nah.
All right.
Nah.
Mets fans are the greatest fans in baseball.
Okay. Anyway. They are.
Whoa, that's a wild take.
Excuse me. Anyway, Phillies fans are absolutely awful. They are some of the worst human beings out there.
That I can agree with.
It's like a bunch of orcs just going, Philadelphia Phillies,
It's not just the Phillies, it's the Eagles, too.
Well, yeah, it's all Philly sports, and Sixers, too. Yeah. But those are two different shows.
Yeah, honestly, we can exterminate the state of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
What? No. What? The state of Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh fans suck.
No, keep the Steelers. Phillies keep the Steelers.
Nah.
Okay.
Go Steelers.
All I'm going to say, I was talking mad hot to all my Philly fans about the Jets beating the Eagles last Sunday.
You're tuned in to 90.7 WVUA FM Tuscaloosa.
Carson.
No, that wasn't even me.
That was not him. I don't know. That was weird.
shout out to the radio station. That was a little
random. They want
random,
us off air so
yeah,
bad.
Yes.
They're trying.
But
A minute left.
Yeah, we got time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess quickly, let's talk about the NLCS real quick.
Final predictions?
Yeah, I'm saying sweep, unfortunately, for the Philadelphia Phillies.
I think the Phillies will drop one in Arizona when Ranger Suarez starts.
I think Phillies at 4 and Texas in 6 in the World Series.
All right. Well, on that note, thank you guys for tuning in to Student Section MLB. Once again, I've been your host, Carson Kiel.
Luke Torrey.
And Luke Anderson.
We'll see you guys next week.